And welcome back to another edition of Sideline Sessions with Wesley Sykes. I am, of course, Wesley Sykes, the managing editor of Coach and Athletic Director, Training and Conditioning, and Winning Hoops Brands for Great American Media Services. And you can listen to all of our previous episodes anywhere you can access podcasts, as well as any of our websites, coachad.com, training-conditioning.com, and winninghoops.com as well. And be sure to follow our brands on Twitter and social media at coach_AD, at traincondition, at winninghoops, and as always, myself, if you like, at WesleySykes_. But on to more pressing matters, because today we welcome to the program Wendy Earlbeck, a registered dietitian, performance nutritionist, and founder of NutritionWithWendy.com. Thank you for taking the time to chat with us. Wendy, how are you?
I'm really well. Thanks, Wesley. So glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. I think I'm trying to live up to the day here as we're recording. This might be a little bit in the past as we release this here, but it's National Hydration Day, so I have my 28 ounces of water here, ready to stay fully hydrated throughout the course of the day.
Excellent. Cheers. I also have my 32 ounces. Love it.
Now, they say it's bad luck to cheers with water, but I think maybe an exception could be made for today.
I disagree with that. I think that that's a bunch of pseudoscience nonsense.
I like it. You're already dispelling myths before we even get started here. So this is a good start. But before we dive into some of the hard-hitting questions here, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, how did you find yourself as a registered dietitian and performance nutritionist? And, you know, what really inspired you to break into the industry?
Excellent. Yeah. Wesley, thank you again so much. What a wonderful question. Really, just the misinformation that's out there. I learned at a very young age that when I was 10, 11 years old, there was just a connection between the foods I was consuming and how I was feeling, not only in the classroom, but then also as an athlete. So I really started to just start journaling and identified that fruits and vegetables, I definitely didn't eat enough protein as a child, but I started researching things. I started finding a bunch of confusing information on the internet. And I remember talking to my, you know, fellow athletes and then even coaches with it as I went through high school, college, and just found that, you know, I'm really passionate about understanding the source of the information and what actually matters and what actually helps people. So long story short, I am passionate to be a registered dietitian because I love going through the science and picking out the information and translating it into simple strategies for people to be effective, not only in their health and wellness, but also their athletic performance. So I think if you ask any dietitian, they'll say, I got interested in nutrition because of food. For me, it was more so the science and just really that connection, not only from a cognitive function standpoint, but then also athletic performance. So it's really landed me into the place that I am at today, working with athletes, but then also working with the general population. I just can't say enough about how much information is out there and how passionate I am. If you follow me on Twitter, you know, and you can see day in and day out that I'm advocating for protein, carbohydrates, fluids, and just kind of understanding how do we make sense of all this information and what is actually applicable to me or even my family. So it's hard for me to really talk about my background, but I just love the science and the nutrition and serving people is what God calls me to do.
You know, and I think that's amazing. Like you said, there is so much information out there. And, you know, I don't think I'm saying anything groundbreaking by saying that we're in the middle of the digital golden age of information, right? But I think part of that is a double-edged sword for so much information that is at the, you know, at our fingertips. There's a lot of contrarying information. Where is it coming from? Who are the sources here? And I think being able to, I also think on top of that, just kind of in the subsection of nutrition, there is a lot of things that can be, you know, difficult to understand to the general population. I think digesting that into layman's terms and something that is easily digestible is something of value, especially when talking about nutrition.
Yeah, absolutely. I made this quote in one of my articles with Simply Faster about how it's like you're thirsty and you're trying to quench your thirst by drinking through a fire hose and you're left, you know, dehydrated, still thirsty, confused, and just sitting there with a bunch of water, kind of just concerned about the fact that you reached for this, you know, source of water, but then you weren't actually able to hydrate yourself. That's what I feel like the general population is on the internet, like information overload. Mm-hmm. You're just left drenched and confused and still thirsty.
I like that. You know, I am a person of metaphors, so I'm a sucker for good metaphor. So I love that. I'll eat that right up. But you recently wrote an article for Coach and Athletic Director, which should be on, not newsstands, but in your mailbox now, if it hasn't already been there, about creatine use in young athletes. And again, all the information and misinformation out there. And I think a little education that you helped me with when talking about this story is that, you know, that kind of Venn diagram that I pictured a creatine to be in with HGH and steroids and that you know 90s era baseball MLB era, but that's not the case here. And from what I've learned after speaking with you and speaking with you is that, you know, creatine is one of the most studied supplements out there, right? So why is creatine an effective supplement for young athletes, and why is there so much misinformation out there in your opinion?
Yes, that is correct, Wesley. So there is so much misinformation because, you know, creatine has been associated with, you know, the bodybuilding culture, and they, you know, people just think that it's a steroid because of that. And the fact that it actually, creatine monohydrate, has steroid-like properties, mm-hmm. but the structure is indeed not a steroid, right? So what creatine monohydrate actually does is it helps us recycle our ATP, which is essential for muscle contraction, right? So the more ATP that we can produce and recycle, that's a high energy source, right? That's the cell's energy currency. So that's good for athletic performance because it helps us get back to sport quicker, helps with recovery, power, speed, strength, maintaining lean mass. So that's why it's important for athletes, for even the older adult population, those that are looking to maintain their lean mass while aging. But specifically talking with young athletes, many of the parents, the coaches are just, they're simply confused because, again, the information overload that's out there and just the misinterpretation of the science. If you take a look at any of the ISSN's position stamp papers, they have some amazing science from all the great researchers, you know, Phil Belichick, Rich Kreider, all these great people that were at the ISSN conference this past weekend. And just being able to navigate the science and understand it. What is creatine? It's 3 amino acids, arginine, glycine, and methionine. It's not a steroid. Just because it helps an athlete recover better doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. And I think context is really key here, in that to increase our intramuscular creatine stores, we're unable to do that sufficiently through dietary sources, which is why the supplement is necessary. And many parents and coaches just don't understand that science. And I give them empathy and compassion, but once we present that in the sense of there has not been any, you know, reported adverse effects with creatine monohydrate consumption or use, and people will affiliate it with, you know, cramping and all this misinformation. But the fact of the matter is that creatine actually helps retain fluid because it draws it into the cell. It's when people don't consume sufficient fluids overall, like on National Hydration Day, we're reminded mm-hmm. to consume enough water and to drink our fluids. But creatine is not a steroid. It will not harm your bones. It will not harm your kidneys. It's safe. It's effective. It's proven. Although we don't have as much robust literature in the young athlete population, we have way more in adults, but we mm-hmm. have to keep in mind, according to the science, again, full disclaimer, there has not been a single report of an adverse effect, right? So we have to understand the literature and saying that it's okay to use it. In fact, I would encourage parents to use it. So I get really passionate about it because it's wild to me, Wesley, that parents are okay with giving their kids pre-workouts loaded with caffeine and God right. knows what else, but creatine monohydrate is safe and effective, but oh no, we can't use that. It's a steroid. So a little joke there, but I just hope people are willing and receptive to the information in the science that's out there.
Yeah. And you know, I find we just recently had a webinar with Now Sports nutrition and a couple of nutritionists and dietitians on there on the panel as well. And that was the big thing is that when you talk about these pre-workouts and these sort of things is that, you know, most of it, even if they say it's, you know, NCAA approved for, you know, any sort of illegal banned substances, even then, that's not necessarily a guarantee when you're buying these over-the-counter type of extreme workouts with, you know, all these, I don't know what on there. You know, I feel like it's all kind of on the label to grab your attention, but you know, you don't necessarily know what's on there, even if that does have that approved, you know, banned substance approved label on there, right?
Yes, that is correct. So that's a great point, Wesley. So just full disclaimer, and I've talked about this in my blogs too, but it has any supplement, right? It should be third-party tested, mm-hmm. NSF certified, approved for sport. So three brands that are Creapure, NOW, yes, now, and then Clean with a K. Those are three brands that are third-party tested. They are, you know, of course, they do not have any of those banned substances or ingredients. But again, they're not, our supplements are not as heavily regulated as our pharmaceuticals.
Right.
So there can be that potential for cross-contamination. But people need to be mindful of the fact that, and this is something that I've seen nutritionists talk about, that our supplements are regulated. Not regulated. They are mm-hmm. regulated, right? We just have to understand and read the label always before we put anything into our body.
And, you know, just to circle back on creatine for a moment there as well. You know, you mentioned how it, some of the misinformation there is it causes dehydration or cramping, but it can actually help promote, you know, retaining water and retaining hydration. One thing that I found when I've been using that myself is that it helps me to, again, drink water, because if I'm already dehydrated beforehand, right, that's just going to exasperate it even more, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, Wesley. So that specific study, because there's been misinformation on this. So if you, Dr. Rich Kreider followed around some D1 football players, and he actually tested and found that it increased their hydration status, right? Because again, it's drawing water into the cells, just like carbohydrates do. So people are going to experience bloating. You can experience bloating with sweet potatoes, right? Because of that mechanism of what happens with the glucose. So people need to be mindful that it's not because of the creatine that you're feeling maybe the bloat, that discomfort. Maybe it's because you didn't eat, you ate too quickly. Maybe you didn't drink sufficient fluids. Maybe you had something different than usual. The causation and correlation, unfortunately, that occurs with creatine is kind of discerning. But you make a very valid point, Wesley, in the fact that we have to drink enough fluid in general with anything, even our mm-hmm. protein. That's important, right? So fluids, definitely 80 to 100 ounces at a minimum would be a fluid recommendation if we're going to talk nutrition 101. But when using creatine, just like any other supplement, or if you're training more, you need additional fluids. It's kind of common sense, but just want a full disclaimer on that one.
I love that. That's great. And again, you know, misinformation, information that's out there. I've seen a lot of, you know, reports or studies or articles about, you know, why creatine is an effective supplement, not just for young athletes, but for young female athletes in particular. Can you go into that a little bit more?
Yeah, for maintaining lean mass. And a part of too, why I'm so passionate as a dietitian is that I did underfuel as a female athlete. I was a cross country runner. I didn't eat enough. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm passionate about that too. You know, and I wish I would have known about creatine when I was in high school, because I could have used it to recover from my training sessions and increase my lean mass, because there's literally zero drawbacks to having more lean mass, right? You're supporting your performance, your health, your skeletal system, and then also decreasing your risk of injury, right? We don't want stress fractures. So female athletes can truly benefit from it, not only our young, but also our adult female athletes, especially given the calcium and vitamin D. Those are two mm-hmm. nutrients that are very under-consumed in that 14 to 18 year old female population. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend, you know, more of the protein sources, and creatine is found in our animal protein. So a lot of females are less likely to consume some of those things when we look at the literature. So that is a reason why not only females, but also vegetarians and vegans would benefit from incorporating creatine monohydrate.
You know, and I feel like you mentioned this a little bit in your answer here, and maybe we could elaborate a little further. You know, as far as fueling athletes before athletic competition, especially as we enter, you know, the warmer summer months of the season here in America, you know, do you have any suggestions for athletes on how to properly fuel, whether that is hydrating or just getting amounts of protein or whatever type of food you need into before athletic competition?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a huge advocate. I have a ton of blogs on all these concepts that you're talking about on my website, nutritionwithwendy.com. And that's Wendy with an I. But mm-hmm. if we really talk about the basics and fundamentals, it's all meals. So breakfast, having power up with protein, whether that be eggs, maybe some Greek yogurt, mm-hmm. and then carbohydrates. Those are also important too. So you're going to power up with your protein. You're going to fuel up with your carbohydrates, whether that be whole grain oats, whole grain toast with some peanut butter. Healthy fats are also important for hormone function as well as satiety. But these fundamental meals, building that plate, and I've shared a lot about the performance plate, the protein, the fruit, the vegetable, the whole grain, the dairy. Those are the things that matter the most. There's no magic meal. There's no magic supplement, right? Creatine is great, but if you're not eating and hydrating, it's not really going to matter. So breakfast, a second breakfast, snacks in between, string cheese, hard-boiled eggs, blueberries, raspberries. I'm a huge fan of protein oats, the mason jar oats. Those are, you know, staples. You can grab and go, use those. And also our fruits and vegetables are very hydrating. So as we go into the warmer summer months here, the dog days of summer in camp, the two-a-days, you need to increase the portion of your carbohydrates on your plate while also increasing your protein, but then your fruits and vegetables, right? Watermelon is very hydrating. Grapes also contain lots of great sugar as well. And when I say great sugar, also met with our antioxidants, vitamins and minerals that are going to help you be a better athlete, a healthier athlete, and everything in between. So really getting back to the basics, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, not skipping meals, not relying on a pre-workout to fuel your training. Pre-workouts are so unnecessary. I always say we should have a pre-workout meal and just making sure we sleep well. I mean, I get so excited because I don't want people to gravitate towards those quick fixes. It's like trying to, you know, heal a wound with, you know, it's a gaping wound. It's a gunshot wound and use a Band-Aid. It's not going to do you any good and it's not going to heal.
And how often are those pre-workouts, right, filled with caffeine that just gives you that artificial boost to kind of get through the moment that leads to an inevitable crash, right? Or just jitters or you know, ability to perform.
Yes. And they're always so scary, Wesley. They're like, again, back in the day, I remember my guy friends were using things like Assault, and it's like, oh my gosh, like it's terrifying. Yeah,
the more extreme the name, I feel like, you know, extreme with six X's in there and then stuff. And I know I have friends like that too. They look for the most obscure or scary label on there and then like, yeah, I'll go with that one. That's great. And again, I feel like you touched on this a little bit when you were talking about the lack of calcium and vitamin D in young women, right? Between 12 and 14, I think was the number there. But where do you find that other young athletes are lacking in their diet? Again, I feel like you touched on that in your last answer, but also in that supplementation avenue.
Yeah. I mean, it always depends. It's interesting. I do work with a lot of female athletes and it's really great. One approach that I take as a dietitian is collecting a 3 to 5 day food recall so that I can really see, so that I can screen and say, okay, they're deficient in B vitamins because of these sources. Their protein is low. Okay. They're also not consuming many dairy products, right? We're supposed to get, it's recommended 3 servings per day and they're not consuming one. So we're definitely missing out on vitamin D, calcium. We're also lacking in B vitamins. So it becomes quite problematic. So what's really great about those food recalls is that as an athlete and a practitioner, we can work together to say, hey, these are the deficiencies. How do we increase some of the portions of whether it be protein, carbohydrates, or more, maybe even more healthy fats to get you to your nutritional needs? I would argue that calcium and vitamin D, and this is consistent in the literature, those are the two that, and iron. Iron is big too, that sometimes supplements are necessary, but we want to take that food first approach. But as always, it's really difficult. It takes time to kind of rewire the brain and to change habits. And females too are very, very concerned about carbohydrates. And I blame the misinformation for that too, Wesley. Mm-hmm. So then you lack in the B vitamins because of the whole grains. Those are super rich in our, right, our B vitamins and niacin and thiamine and things like that. And those are really essential. So really just kind of transforming their understanding of how do we understand we need to eat for health, but then fuel for athletic performance? And young athletes are expending thousands of calories because they're growing and developing their tissues in addition to all the training. I can't tell you how many athletes I've worked with that their training is 20 plus hours a week. And I'm just thinking, my goodness, you know, how come you don't have stress fractures with the limited intake you might have in comparison to the amount of hours spent training? It's just wild to me. I don't know if you've seen the same thing, Wesley, but
yeah, you know, and what I found really amazing was, you know, again, when you mentioned things like fats or you know, sugars and some of those terms, I think carry stigmas to them, perhaps negative stigmas to it. But like you mentioned, there's good sugars. I think, you know, I've also read that carrots, you know, if the average human person's addiction to sugar wasn't, you know, that hard, that you could taste you know, how sweet an actual carrot is, right? And the natural sugars that are involved in there, or the natural fats that come in avocados, but, or like you said, even the whole grains that get attached with carbohydrates there. And I really appreciate the work that you're doing to, you know, kind of put a stamp on that.
Oh, thank you. Well, you absolutely raise a great point, Wesley, in the fact that people are concerned when they hear fat or sugar, but the fact of the matter is that with athletes, sugar, carbohydrates, glucose is what fuels muscle contraction. So if we're going to skimp on the sugar, we're going to have less muscle contraction. We're going to have less power, less speed, less stamina, less endurance. And when I have a female athlete sitting in front of me and I tell her that, she's like, well, wait, I'm not afraid to eat the grapes anymore, or even, you know, the carrots or the banana that gets demonized, for goodness sakes. It's ridiculous. Context is so key. You know, if it's a sedentary adult that sits at their computer for 10 hours a day, barely takes 5,000 steps a day, sure, they might need to reduce their carbohydrate, their fruit intake. But again, fruit is very healthy. And in fact, the research supports that those that consume fruits tend to have a healthier body composition. So I'll argue any day with any of those keto people on Twitter. I'm happy to do it because of the science.
So if I start incorporating nothing but fruits into my diet, is that in time to kind of still get that summer beach bod I'm hoping for, or?
Well, it depends. Calories, protein, that distribution. No, I love what you're saying, but it's true. I mean, most people need to consume, right, 2 to 3 servings and a serving of fruit, right? Think about like your fist, a medium-sized apple. Most people, Wesley, I would say adults are over-consuming their portions. So it's not about the calories from the fruit. It's just calories in general are putting people into a surplus in which then they're gaining weight. So if we can be more mindful in how we build a plate, and actually work with a weight loss group right now where we're talking about healthy habits, how do we build a plate? So the plate changes, just like fueling for athletes. So again, context here. If we have a person that's trying to lose weight, we're going to change that portion of the carbohydrate on the plate, and we might increase the protein because there's greater satiety associated with that versus an athlete. They are training at a really high level. They're going to have to increase their carbohydrate portion to 50% of the plate. And then in addition to their protein. So that's why I always tell people, like, we've got to be very mindful and we've got to filter the information. And is it pertinent to us, or is it pertinent to someone else, or my kiddo? I mean, whoever it is.
That's fantastic. I love that. I think in 22 minutes here, 23 minutes, we have jam-packed maybe a couple of days worth of knowledge in here. But so I'm really appreciative of your time, and I don't want to be abusive of that at all. But before I like to let all of my guests go, I like to go through a little segment I call 5 questions that have nothing to do with sports, maybe get to know the guest here a little bit. So all fair game, kind of lightning round sort of things. You know, are you ready? Are you prepared? Do you feel like you're ready to take part?
Let me hydrate quick.
Perfect. Great. Take your time. No problem here. I'll stall for you for a couple of seconds.
I'm ready.
All right. Question number one. Now, I don't know how some people feel about this term, but what is your go-to cheat food, cheat meal, or item that you splurge on?
Oh my gosh. I don't use the word cheat meal because
I had a feeling.
Yeah. All foods fit. But I would say ice cream hands down, because it's delicious. It's hydrating. It has electrolytes in it and it has protein. So I'm a huge ice cream person. I make my own healthy ice creams though, using real milk and fruit.
I love that. Okay. So what's the favorite flavor here?
Oh my gosh, that's hard to pick. Probably a cookies and cream. So if I use a cookies and cream whey protein with Fairlife white milk or Fairlife chocolate milk, throw a frozen banana in there with some peanut butter and ice. Delicious.
That is awesome. You know, we recently got an ice cream maker, you know, for a wedding a few years back, and haven't been able to put that to good use yet. So I think we have some summer options here for some nice dessert.
Yes, I have an ice cream maker myself. I have recipes specifically for that on the website. Go check those out and get some great whey protein to add in there too.
I love that. That's a great, again, not a great, maybe a cheat around ice cream. I know we like to leave that term out of there, but question number two, are you a pool or an ocean, lake, or pond person?
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm from southeastern Minnesota, but I always love swimming in the lakes. But I'd probably say an ocean would be my choice now, just because of how crazy the lakes are these days. They seem not as clean, but unless you're in northern Michigan. I probably didn't answer that very well. Okay, I'm going to go with lake in northern Michigan or ocean in Florida, if given the option.
I liked it. So I like the qualifier on the ocean, because in Florida, it's warm water. I don't think you deal with sharks nearly as much. I'm located in the Northeast of Massachusetts, home to many great white sharks. Cape Cod. Yeah. So it's it's a huge seal population, and they, obviously that's the top meal of choice for sharks. So they go where the food is, and it's brought in up a lot of great white shark sightings, to kind of make, you know, life into a movie, or a movie imitating life with Jaws. So Martha's Vineyard, kind of around that area there. I typically would go for the ocean, but again, maybe on the bay side where it's a little more shallow. You don't have to worry about sharks coming up and closing the beach on you.
That's amazing. As long as you don't become the food, Wesley.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, right at the tip, I don't know if you can picture Cape Cod, but it's usually like a flexed forearm. So right at the tip is Provincetown. And this was a couple weeks ago. I was just talking about this with my wife's family last night. And there was a lobsterman who goes diving all the time. And he was swallowed mistakenly by a blue whale, some sort of whale. Much like Geppetto from Pinocchio, and then spat back up, and he was brought back up ashore from the whale.
I did see that, and I thought it was fake news, and I didn't click on it.
This is what we were discussing last night, and my wife's aunt swears it happens. I says, you know, it could be, it sounds like fantastical. I don't know. It's two people there, you know, it's easy to kind of make up. So that's actually what we were discussing last night, whether that was true or not. But you can become the food nonetheless.
Wow. Great question.
Okay. So question number three, it's a Saturday. You have no work obligations, no prior plans, commitments, nothing like that. What are you doing with your day off?
I'm absolutely going to go work out and take a hike and spend some time in the woods with God and my Bible.
I love that, because in the summertime, we get only a couple of nice months here in Massachusetts, as far, you know, maybe three or four nice months. So
that's terrible.
It gets dreary in the wintertime, though. You know, it gets slushy and everything, but the seasons are nice. You know, you get fall and foliage, but I love going out and hiking all in like kind of the reservation areas and all the different trails and everything with my dog too. So I love that. Aside from social media or music, what is the most used app on your phone?
Oh my goodness. Well, that's hard to answer. I feel like everything's pretty equal, because I do monitor my social media use and like just my app use. Mm-hmm. I'd probably say it's a cross between my finances and my Bible app.
Both very important. Got to keep on. But I like that too, because you keep it on your phone. I'm sure you have a hard copy somewhere with you as well.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. I do like to write and highlight with things, but you know, as a business owner too, I like to watch my credit score and just how my thing, you know, how everything is functioning, because there's a lot of people out there breaching your information. I'm probably a little bit more on the OCD. I know. So that's a full disclaimer. Monitor those things, because if you don't, you have no idea what's going on, right? We don't know what we don't know.
Yes, absolutely. I think mine at the moment, outside of social media or music, will probably be like Trulia or Zillow right now. We are the unfortunate couple trying to find a house in a horrible market right now.
Oh my gosh.
That is where we're at right now. And I don't like this at all. It's very tough.
Well, I will pray for you both, and may God bless you with the most beautiful home. And maybe he's getting something prepared for you right now, and that's why it's so difficult to find something.
I appreciate that, right? It's nothing, no journey, or what's the phrase? No destination was ever worth a strong journey, right? There's some meaning behind there.
That's so true.
I think I just made that up. There's someone else had to have said that better than I have.
That's beautiful. Patent that. That's all you, Wesley.
I like it. Okay. Last question here. What is the last vacation you went on, and where'd you go?
The last vacation I was on was actually a non-work. It was a trip to Fort Myers Beach, Florida with my dad. We spent his birthday, and it was 3 days of walking along the beach and just relaxing and spending time together. As I'm in Michigan and he's in Minnesota, it's always great to spend time with my dad. He's my hero. So it's a great vacation.
And that's all. And if you can get out, you know, some of the cold weather a little bit down to the fun and sun of Florida, that's even better too. I love that. Well, Wendy, you have successfully survived five questions that have nothing to do with sports here. So I think you did swimmingly, in my opinion. But I'd like to thank you for taking the time to speak with us today. And once again, before we let you go, where can the people get in touch with you on social media or your website or wherever you would like to plug?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again so much for having me. This has been fun. I've never had an interview in which I've been asked five nail-biting questions. So it was great. Thank you.
Okay, that's
it was fun. People can find me on my website, nutritionwithwendy.com, and that's Wendy with an I. I also have started a newsletter, and it's free. So it's monthly recipes, blogs, infographs, all right to your email. And then also on social media, Wendy Earlbeck is my Twitter, and then also Nutrition with Wendy is my Instagram. And happy to connect with anyone offline, and I'm here to serve both the general population and athletes as well.
That is fantastic. And you can follow all of our brands on Twitter once again at @coach_AD, @traincondition, @winninghoops, and myself, as always, @WesleySykes_. And you'll want to be following those accounts to get a first look at who our next guest will be for our 21st episode at the end of July, moving right along here. But until then, sports fans, I am Wesley Sykes. Thank you for listening to Sideline Sessions, and thank you, Wendy.
Thank you, Wesley. Have a great day.
You too.